and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast, episode 80. Finally made it to the octogenarians. Is that right, Michael?
I've never heard that term before.
I think that's right. I think
you're probably right.
Octo for eight, and I think that's the right word, genarian, something like that. I don't know. People who are in the eighth decade of their life, we're in the eighth decade of episodes of our podcast.
All right.
I think so.
Sounds like a Latin word.
Yeah, it probably is. I have no idea, man. All words, some kind of Latin word, right?
Yeah, Latin, Greek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As always, this is your weekly, I was going to say daily, this is your weekly video game podcast. Could you imagine if we did this on a daily basis?
I don't want to imagine.
So busy if that was the case.
Out of video games. I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh my gosh, you would not. But we come to you with a weekly video game podcast about the different kinds of news going on during the week, different kinds of things we're playing, sometimes our Fantasy Critic League, all different kinds of things, Michael. And I've jumped the gun a little bit. As always, I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, a.k.a. your best friend, a.k.a. your sous chef. Let me just help you with those chopping out the onions and other things over there.
All right.
Across from me, as usual, Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero.
Do you know if there's any, thumb exercises to build up, muscles in your thumb?
Because,
Or I'll just buy a fighting stick, which is probably the more likely route to take. But, man.
I would assume, obviously, Michael is referring to the rigorous Guilty Gear Strive regimen he's been on lately. But in terms of, thumb action versus just, fighting stick action kind of thing, I assume it goes from, being your thumb that's getting a crazy workout to, your wrist and stuff.
Depending on
how you're doing the fighting
stick. Yeah, I've seen people put the stick between their fingers and use their whole hand to move it.
Oh, yeah.
That could be a relief if you're going like this at times, I guess.
Yeah, because I guess it would probably.
So there's only one thing you can do with the
with the thumb. Yeah, you can't turn your hand upside down and hit the buttons on that.
Yeah.
I would say probably for the question of hand exercises and stuff, because I think my wife would be a better person to ask about that. But in terms of the idea of going over to that joystick type of thing instead, I would assume, you're probably going to build up callus between your fingers and stuff from the constant moving back and forth if you do it on the upside down way. And if you do it the right side up way.
I already have the calluses.
Just wrist action.
Below the fingers for all the guitar playing and stuff. So.
Oh, okay. Now, I was going to say, below the fingers, maybe a little bit different than right in between.
Yeah, between the webbing. The webbing.
That might be a little bit tough, but you got options, though. You can do the whole hand fist kind of thing.
Yep.
You could do just a few fingers, just like that.
Those sound effects, too.
Yeah. Yep. That's just imagine that's what your hand does, you know?
Okay. So I jumped back into it online yesterday, and I was playing some matches, losing a lot, winning some, and there was a point where my thumb just locked up. Because I was moving it so much, and it just I'm like, oh my god, it's cramping. Yeah. Oh.
You press pause, and they're like, what are you doing? You're like, yeah, wait,
I was out of the match. I was like, no.
Oh, okay. Man, yeah, what a crazy thing to end up having happened to your hands and stuff, just from fighting games and stuff.
It's worth the pain, though. It's so fun.
Oh, yeah. What, because there's different floor levels, right? What floor are you at?
I'm hovering around 6'5".
Oh, okay.
So six is the better one. 5 is the lower one.
Okay, so you kind of go between 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's where I would say most, I don't want to say casuals, but people who play video games and know some fighting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anything competence, above that, you're like.
Competence, fighting gamers.
Yeah, don't know combos too well, but can manage some things.
Yeah, your average gamer that is kind of dabbling in a fighting game for a bit.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so that's because in the so around that that's like what like mid
yeah
mid ish mid like mid higher low, yeah. range kind of thing
or mid low
or mid low okay yeah. And then because it goes up to what 10
I think
and
it goes above up to that 10 is like heaven celestial or celestials
or celestial
yeah thank
okay
you.
Gotcha. okay so that's a pretty you're getting there you're getting
I'll
there,
play some today so you can see how it
oh
is.
yeah I'd like to see an online match and stuff of that sounds really cool But along with all the things that we've been playing, we're going to be talking a little bit about some different news from this week, such as Sony acquiring some studios for one. No, sorry, two for sure. One, maybe?
Yeah.
Plus there. And then also, Ghost of Tsushima is getting a director's cut. Indie publishers being mad at PlayStation. And even a Dead Space remake, Michael. Mm. Got a lot of things going on this week. Nice, because previous weeks feels like it's been a little bit like lighter in the news section.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got some stuff to go over this week. But first, let's go ahead and talk about some games we've been playing. Michael, what you been doing lately? I know you said Guilty Gear Strive.
Obviously Guilty Gear Strive. But the other one I've been playing, I don't want to say a weird JRPG kick, because I've always been in a JRPG kick. Mm-hmm. But recently I really want to just dive into playing a bunch of JRPGs. And I was like, oh, I can jump back into East 8.
Oh, okay. Lacrimosa of Dana.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. But man, I'm going to make a hot take here.
Oh.
I've only played 1, 2, 3 Yeast games.
Yeah, because you did, what, Memories of Celcida?
Yeast Origins.
Oh, Origins, yeah.
And then and 8.
Dana, okay.
I think I like it better than the Tales series.
Wow. Now, do you think it's because of the combat being more like fluid and reactive type of thing?
I think a lot of it has to do to the gameplay, because the Tales games are, it's kind of similar combat, but you're restricted in a bubble.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The way you go into battles is a little interesting.
Mm. And I mean, so from what I played of, I think eight, I played some of 9. I don't know if I got into a lot of battles in 9. From what I remember, those ones are also like a bubble restricted type of thing, right? You can't when you get
for
into
yeast?
A battle, you can't wander.
Oh no, you can
running away type of thing.
Yeah, it's open world. Enemies are all there. You just attack and you go.
Am I remembering right? Maybe it's been a little bit of time since I played.
Yeah,
it.
Because the yeast.
But it's like if you run too far away from the things, then you just stop. You just stop fighting.
They'll
right?
stop attacking you, but okay. You don't gotcha, like enter gotcha. A different.
Yeah, so you don't. Yeah, not, like not, a, not a cutscene that brings you into the battle. And then you
so
fight
it's like it's like thing. It's like Breath of the Wild or Ghost of Tsushima. You just gotcha. Jump right into the fight, and you can.
God, I'm thinking of the boss battle. That's what it
oh,
was.
Oh yeah, boss battles. Boss battles. You it.
Yeah, you're in a cutscene,
yeah.
And then also like the arena is closed
yes,
off. You
yes.
can't run out from there.
Normal battles, you can just do whatever.
Gotcha.
But I think the mobility, you can move really fast. You can jump really high. Mm-hmm. It's just. A lot better than, okay, I don't want to say a lot better. It is better than...
It's more versatile.
More versatile, yes. Yeah. And the stories and characters are about the same with the Tales games. They're always good. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the Tales games are much more, I don't want to say darker in tone, but they side on the more dramatic.
Oh, okay.
Yeast, yeah, yeah. From what I played of Yeast, there are dramatic stuff and there is darker themes, but it's... They add like this lighthearted charm that almost like makes it feel more consumable and
okay,
more doses.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. So it makes you feel like you want to play it more as opposed
yeah,
to like
it's not like super angsty. It's not like
gotcha
depressing all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you don't feel like as much as at stake as you're like playing kind of thing.
I would
say that.
No. I would say there's a lot at stake because the story is pretty deep and crazy, but
oh okay,
it's nothing like how would I say, like I'll bring up Berseria as an example where
Berseria is a dark one to
yeah
go to.
Berseria is a dark one. Even Tales of Graces F is a dark one too once you get further into the story, where it deals with, there is death in Yeast, so I can't really say it. Just the characters are gloomy and the world is parts are just very dark, and it's like, oh, this is just for extended periods of time, you're like, oh man, this is just very gloomy and dark. But Yeast, I feel like Yeast, they know when to inject lighthearted stuff. They know when to deal with that dramatic stuff, but they also know how to mix in more lighthearted stuff in between
to make it kind of intersperse things.
Yeah,
a
make it flow. Basically, flow better. I feel like.
Okay.
In Tales stories.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because I mean, when I think of the Tales things. I mean, even just from what you're kind of describing and stuff, I would think of it as being like, obviously I haven't played like enough of like multiple things. I've played like through Symphonia, but I've played a decent amount of Vesperia and Zestiria. I was like, why can't I think of the other ones? Because they sound similar. I played decent amounts of those ones, and when they get like dark, they get like dark. And
yeah.
It's just like, oh man, there's a lot going
on. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've only played like very little of the Yeez games. So like what I've seen there, it's kind of like, yeah, I do get that feeling of it being more lighthearted in general. It's kind of like the way like, because what Adol is pretty much there throughout the different stories,
from,
right?
Like, Adol Christensen or something. The main character.
Yeah. So that's obviously one main difference, is that he's like always there, and then his like buddies and things like change over time, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, from the parts that I played, it's kind of like a weird thing, maybe just because he's been in so many games, but he's just like not really phased by things. Like when he is, it's like for what I started to play in like 8 and stuff in the beginning, you know, giant sea monster attacks the ship he's on.
I'm ready.
He like starts fighting the sea monster, and then the ship gets like, you know, wrecked, and they're all shipwrecked, and now he's got to look for, you know, survivors on this island and stuff. But he's just kind of like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, I've ship got this. Attacked. It's fine. It's no big deal. And people around him are like, what's wrong with you?
I think at that point he's been, I think he's in 80s, I think 19 or 20.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah, and he's been on.
I mean, he's been in 7 other games at least.
Yeah, yeah. So. Not all games go in chronological. So I think.
Oh, weird.
This
okay.
number, this one takes place before 7, I believe.
Wait, what? Now I'm confused.
It's a weird. They mostly line up, but this, for some reason, this one is before, I think 7, because Dogi, one of the characters in this, is is. They're friends and stuff, but they're. I think this is one of their early adventure goings. I believe so.
Interesting. All right, I'm looking this thing down here, because now I'm like, I'm
looked
like,
it up
what
too.
The
I'm
heck?
Pretty sure it's not.
There's a lot of things going on.
I'm pretty
on
sure
here.
8 is Let's before see. One of the
Listed
games.
In chronological. Okay, I'm looking at The Gamer, written by Stephen Michael Morin or Stephen Michael Morin.
I could be
Let's
wrong.
All Yeez games listed in chronological order. I'm just gonna try and find this. Okay, so. So Yeez Origin seems pretty obvious as being the first one. Then 1 and 2, Memories of Celcida, which is number 4 technically. Yep. So, okay, yeah. So 3. And then number 3, Oath of Fil'Ghana. Jeez, there's so many games.
Yeah. There's a lot of games.
Number 5 then. So it goes 4, was it 1, 2?
4.
4, 3, 5, which is The Lost Kingdom of Sand. Then 8? Are you serious?
Yeah.
What's the matter with this series? Yeah. Okay, then number 8, which is Lacrimosa of Dana. Then you go back to 6, the arc of, oh boy. Napishtim?
I'm sure that's right.
It's Napishtim. Napishtim.
There you go.
Say. And then number 7, after 6, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then 8.
And then
9.
8, okay.
Or 9.
Oh, sorry, 9, yeah. 9 Monstrum Nux.
Yep.
Nox. Man, all right.
He lives, I think, because like, I looked at the lore, he lives to, like, 65.
Mm.
So they can do, they've done 9 games, and he's only, I think he's, like, 22, 23 in the
all
ninth
right.
one. So they can do a whole bunch more in his 45 years
all
remaining.
All right.
So I'm excited.
All right, Mr.
Loving it.
Mr. Adol. Christensen.
He knows his way around, man.
Wait, sorry, is it Christensen or Kristen?
I think it's Christian. Kristen.
Okay, gotcha, okay. All right, Mr. Adol, Kristen,
whatever. But to wrap that up, it's great. I'm close to the end, and I'll probably finish it up today.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, it's great. It's making me want to play more RPGs after this, or JRPGs after this.
Okay. Yeah, no, like, I've been craving RPGs lately in general, too. I'll get to it later, but, like, I don't know how many times I've done this now, started a new game on Morrowind, and I was like, oh man, it feels good to be back, you know what I'm saying? But here's the kicker. This time, I'm going to try and...
Keyword.
I'm going to try. Yeah, keyword is definitely try. I'm going to try and play it legitimately, because like in the past, like I don't know if it's just that the difference between Morrowind and... Oblivion, like those two, like, you know, number 3 and the number 4 of the Elder Scrolls series, is so like vast that like 3 is crazy hard.
Yeah,
like playing it, it's like old school hard type of thing. Even to the point of like, for whatever reason, it's not every attack that you make is gonna hit type of thing. It's like you have stats that will be like, oh, like you try to stab at this thing, and even though like you're pointing at it correctly and like, you know, are in range and whatnot,
right,
you're not gonna actually do any damage, which is the most like annoying thing in that game. But number four, you know, as long as you're near them and you hit them and stuff, you make contact and whatnot. Which, you know, in a way works both ways, but it seems like the monsters are kind of always getting you, mm-hmm. right, as opposed to missing you a lot. So that part makes it difficult, but I'm going to try and do it without the, like, cheat codes that constantly refills your... Well, yeah, there's that I've done in the past, and I think I only did that, like, maybe, like, once or twice on, like, an actual, like, save file type of thing, just because it was, like, goofy and whatnot, mm-hmm. and it was fun to do. But in terms of, like, actually playing the game without the... it's kind of like regenerative health, stamina, or magic stats kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's like you can only have one active at a time. So if you put on the regenerative health, then basically like each time you get hit and your bar goes down, it'll fill back up. So as long as they're not doing like too much damage to you too quickly, you don't die type of thing.
Okay, that's nice.
Which is great for early game when you're trying to like survive and whatnot. But... you know, kind of breaks the game if you're doing that. And like the way I would do it when I was a kid was like I'd go between that and then I use some magic stuff when I'm out of magic instead of using a potion like a normal person to like refill my magic.
You never use potions in any game,
right? Then I pop down to the menu again, change it over to the regenerative magic to make that boost all the way back to the full, and then put it back on the health thing, and then keep on rinsing and repeating and stuff.
Right.
So obviously that slows the game down a lot. But then at the same time, you know, you don't feel like it's crazy hard and you can actually like go and do stuff without mm-hmm. the fear of constant death in that game.
It's funny to see the two extremes there. You never use potions or health items in games. I use all of them and I have none at the end.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. And the weird thing is that I like to hoard stuff. So yeah, you'd think that I would have the most like reason to actually use these items. But no, I'm just always like, I got to save it for the final boss, guys. That's what I got to do.
but yeah,
so continuing on,
that was my I've only played Guilty Gear and Yeast 8 most of the week.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, yeah been focused then. That's cool.
What about you?
Okay, so I already mentioned Morrowind. What else did I do? I played I got Ender Lilies, mm-hmm. What is it, Quietus of the Nights. That came out, you know, previously, I think a week or two ago on the Switch, and then it came out this past week for Xbox. It was supposed to also come out on the PlayStation side, but for some reason, some kind of technical troubles the devs have run into. That was a weird sentence. The devs have run into some kind of technical issues with the game on there, so it's been pushed to just like a vague Q3 of this year to hopefully kind of get those things ironed out. So since it only came out on the Xbox side, I was like, well... whatever. I'm gonna go play it on the Xbox Series X and stuff. So I got it there, been playing it, getting some achievements and whatnot. It's a super fun game. I am
pretty good things.
I think a little bit further than where I was, because I've ventured a little bit past the area that I stopped at on the Switch. And kind of slowly finding more like spirits and things. I think I've found maybe four spirits at this point. Yeah, I think about four.
Okay.
The max number of is that right? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. The max number of, like, yeah, I'd say just, like extra spirits you can hold at one time or, like, equip at one time is 4. If you are leaving, like, one spot on your, I wouldn't call it, like, a quick list or what do you call those things normally? Like, the quick action buttons, not that kind of thing,
quick
right?
Quick time?
It's not like it's like buttons that you set. Like,
oh, the hotkeys, basically.
Hotkeys, there we go. Yeah. So like you can set like two PC different term. Hots. Yeah, hotkey PC stuff. You can set two different hotkey things where like X is always your like normal attack kind of thing, and then you can add I think what Y and B to be other like hotkey spirit uses kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most if you keep your normal attack on X for both hotkeys, because it's only 3 buttons per hotkey cycle or whatever, if you keep the normal attack on X, then you can only have, you know, 4 other spirits that you can then, like, cycle through type of thing. Unless you wanted to add a 5th one and maybe on, like, one of the hotkeys take off your normal attack for X, right? Which just means that you're going to have to switch between the things a lot more to do regular attacks, which I think would be annoying, which is probably why I'm not going to do it.
Probably.
But kind of just getting through like some of that stuff there, finding slowly more spirits and everything, and learning there's different like notes that you sometimes find around the maps and whatnot, and they kind of tie into like spirits that you're finding along the way. One of them was like this little So there's these little like slug-like enemies in the game.
These are always the worst.
Yeah, they're pretty gross. But when, you know, when the slug-like things see you and whatnot, and you get close enough, they'll like jump in like an arc towards you, and then that's how they attack you, is they just like hit you like that. And I found one who ended up being like a mini boss of sorts, and he, after you beat him and stuff, it's apparently like a child who was like transformed by this like, you know, rain of death, and the blight like disease and whatnot.
Right.
And he's now become this like slug thing. And then you found a, I think each time you defeat a spirit and like, you know, gain the ability to purify them and whatnot and take them with you, you get to see what a little bit of their history kind of thing as well, like just in text. And I think like he basically was separated from his mom at some point, during like the start of everything going bad. And he ventured out to try and find her, and then obviously never found her, and you know, turned into this nasty slug thing.
Like normal stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah, just like normal, like dark action RPG things. But yeah, I mean, just kind of little things like that. I'm just like, oh man, it's so, so creepy and gross, but cool, like story building at the same time. Yeah. I think along with that one, when I played a little bit of a similar type of like 2D action, kind of like dark setting game called, I think it's Minoria. Okay. And it's, I think it's on basically all the platforms at this point. It's came out, I want to say last year, I think. I think it's by Dungeon Entertainment or something like that. But it's a cool, just like 2D kind of like painted-ish looking art style and whatnot.
Yeah, I play, they did the same, I think they did the same game, Momodora.
Yeah. Definitely the same stuff there. So yeah. Kind of see like their art style kind of carry over into this game. But yeah, it's a cool like kind of thing as well, also kind of on the dark side, but then still kind of that 2D action, you know, like a Souls game in 2D where you have to kind of dodge out of the way of attacks or like, you know, jump away from stuff, things like that.
Yeah.
But I think besides those two, oh yeah, last one I've been playing, Cozy Grove, still doing that. I think I'm almost at day 60, so I'm almost 2/3 of the way there to 90.
Nice.
I'm like 60 something percent of the trophies on there, but the other ones are going to take a long time, so it's whatever. And I've been playing Ratchet and Clank.
Nice.
So that one's been a lot of fun. It's been
always good games.
Yeah, and that's, it's like the only like Ratchet and Clank games I've really played have been, I said games, it's probably actually just the 2016 remake.
Really?
I don't think I played the earlier ones because I didn't have
or anything.
Yeah, because I didn't have a what's anything before the PS3. I had a PS1, but didn't play a lot of things on it because I got it towards the end of the life cycle, I think. Yep. And then, yeah, just I played the 2016 Ratchet & Clank, which was fun. And then this new one is a lot of fun. Man, it's so pretty looking.
Oh, like, I can imagine. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, like the... Sometimes I'm looking at the fur on like Ratchet and Rivet and stuff, and I'm just like, you guys look ridiculous in like the best way. It's like a good ridiculous, you know? But
like developers, give me those skills. I want to be able to do things.
I want to be able to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun though. I would say like it's probably, I'm in this mood right now where not a lot of like things are like grabbing me and making me really like stay in one game. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of in one of those phases lately where it's been hard for me to stick to one thing.
Makes
and
sense.
Continue playing. Which I think lessens the experience of like any game I play right now.
Yeah.
So it's not grabbing me as much as I wanted it to, but I think I've also kind of realized lately that like if I fall out of the release window of a game and haven't played too much of it, my interest in like playing it has like dropped quite a bit.
Interesting.
So it's like, I don't know, like I would say coming up, right? I'm going to buy Tales of Arise. And it's going to come out like days apart from Life is Strange, True Colors, and what's the other game? Deathloop. And which one?
I said a lake.
Oh, Lake.
It comes out in the first.
No, Lake. I ain't going to play that game.
I'll play it, don't worry.
I know, Michael will play it. But yeah, it comes out between like, you know, not between, but right next to like two like other huge games and stuff that I wanted to try out. But Tales of Arise is so huge that I know like, I'm gonna get to that point, and if I'm playing anything else at that time and don't jump into Tales of Arise right away, my like excitement for playing it will probably like drop quite a bit. Like Scarlet Nexus has happened like that also, where I've played a little bit of it, like the first like hour or something, and then went and being like, oh, I should probably play Ratchet and Clank also, and so now I'm just like, oh well, not going to touch Scarlet Nexus for a little while, probably.
I think that's like 95% why I haven't gotten Mass Effect yet. Because I know if I play it or get it, I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm going to play it for a couple hours and I'm going to like stop playing it. I'm going to jump into something else. I'm like, oh, Mass Effect is still there, but it's big. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, and that's the sad thing is like I was, before like all these other games started coming out, I was playing Mass Effect 1. And I think I was, I'd say like 2/3 of the way through it, maybe. Maybe like a half if we're being like, you know, overly generous type of thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've basically kind of have like dropped off of that also because like one, I've played that game before. And two, I'm like, well, there's all these other things that are coming out.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, ah, I can't focus right now. Also, not video game related, but just game in general related. D&D has been taking up a lot of time for me lately in terms of like mind share. So I've been doing a lot of stuff for that because I started a campaign with some friends recently and I'm just like, man, I've been doing a lot of like planning stuff there, doing a lot of like listening to D&D podcast kind of stuff.
And you have so much space for so much in the brain.
Yes, only so much like bandwidth in my brain for all these things. So I'm just like, okay, well, right now I'm in a D&D phase. So video games are taking kind of a backseat, which is, you know, more rare, but it happens. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's about what I've been playing, though.
Nice.
Hopefully going to try and jump into some more things on the Xbox soon, because July is kind of the month of a lot of cool Game Pass games coming out.
Yeah.
Got, what, Chris Tales. I think we've got Death's Door coming out. Didn't think about that only being Xbox till recently, and I was like, well,
so good.
I'm going to play it, so I've already got it, pre-downloaded and everything. And then, what's the other one? The Ascent, I think, is also coming to Xbox on Game Pass this month. So a lot of different things popping out there.
You can just jump into all the Yakuza games.
Oh, play God. Them
1 through 7.
Well, if I'm going to do that, because I own them on the PlayStation, I'm going to play them over there. But, yeah, dude, I think because Lost Judgment comes out in September also, also right near the all the other games that are coming out.
That's going to be the game I'm going to be playing.
Man, there's so many things. The end of this year is going to be nuts. I can't even think about it right now. But yeah, because Lost Judgment's going to be coming out, I want to like try and finish Judgment before that. So I don't know if that'll happen like this month or next month, something like that. But
I think it's good. I've slowly trying to get into this mindset of it's okay to miss out on some games.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like it's so I don't have to try again. It sucks if I don't get a game right away or I don't have the money or whatever. I'm like it's okay if you don't play right away. You might not be as super hyped about it when you do eventually play it, but it'll be there. Focus on what you have, what you really really want to play, and then worry about.
Yeah.
It's a hard mindset to get into, but I think it's...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I would say for me, that mindset doesn't, like, exist.
Yeah,
like,
makes sense.
In the sense of, like what I mentioned, like, I know that if I don't play something when I'm the most excited for it, I won't be excited for it later. And so I'm just like, well, that's why I want to do it now. So it's like, okay, if I lose the excitement, then it becomes a backlog game, and I just have too many of those. So it's like, well, at some point, like, I'll probably just have to be like, these are all in my backlog and I'm never playing them type of thing because there's no time. Or like when I hit retirement age, which is a long time from now, I'll just be like, here we go. We're going to kick up all these one by one.
By that time, you'll have like 10 times the games you have now, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I'm just like, it sucks. Like, but I think throughout life, probably I've been the kind of person who's like very much so like when I'm excited about something, I'm like all in it, like at the moment type of thing. Like when I was excited about One Piece all the time, I was like all in it all the time.
So you never like get that feeling of it back, like ever? Like
I don't think so.
Oh,
like
man.
I mean, so like a good example there is One Piece. Like I haven't read One Piece in probably months, I think.
Oh, wow.
So it's like you know, for a while I was like all in it, like all of like what, high school. I don't know if I started in middle school or not. I think in middle school I thought Luffy was annoying, which is a funny like change of heart I had eventually, but it was because English voice Luffy was annoying and Japanese was great. But in terms of, yeah, like One Piece, I was like all in it in high school, even through like early parts of college and stuff. And then I think after moving to Oregon for grad school, like, you know, finishing up bachelor's degree and then grad school type of stuff, I think I didn't watch it as much. I pretty much only watched it when I was in Hawaii, and then I don't think I really watched it in Oregon, and became way more entrenched in like the video game mm-hmm. side of things. And then I think since then I had somewhat kept up with the manga, but have just like kind of like lost interest. I'm wearing a One Piece shirt right now.
Yeah.
So it's like I've clearly not like lost interest in like what I've like seen before, but I've kind of lost interest in terms of like I don't have the time to keep up with that and like all the other things I want to keep up with. So I'm just like, well, I just drop it, I guess.
Dang. Do you think it'll ever come back? Because this will be short. Like with wrestling, like I dropped mm-hmm. out of wrestling, man. Now I'm done for yeah. 5 to 6 years. But then I don't know what got me back into it. But like, oh, wrestling. Oh, why don't I stop watching this and enjoying it? And now I'm back into it. Do you think that'll ever
I think it could. Happen? I think it could, because like there'll be times when I'll occasionally be like, you know, I haven't read One Piece in a while. Like, I wonder where they're at. Like, I think that happened, I don't know, maybe like last year or something mm-hmm. or early this year. Might have been one of the two. But I looked at the stuff and I was like, wow, there's a lot of chapters. Like, I figured there would be because I hadn't read in a while. And so I started reading and I was like, all right, I'm reading through. Okay, I'm good to like break for now and then go back and do other stuff. And then I just like, you know, because I took a break, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not like in it, you know? So sense. Yeah, it's that kind of thing where unless something is happening that's like really like dragging me in there type of thing, like I've kind of just like pushed it and I'm just like, okay, I'm fine with like pushing it. Kind of like how, like, you know, you said being fine with not having to consume like everything that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that where I'm just like, okay, well, I've lost the interest, so I just got to push it. Like, I just got to do something else.
Makes sense.
And I think that's what, you know, helps in terms of making me enjoy the stuff that I'm like really enjoying. But, you know, at the same time too, like, there's so many things that I enjoy in video games that I'm just like, I'm never going to be able to play all these things.
Your poor backlog.
Yeah, I know, super backlog. But I like the idea of being able to try out things.
Yeah.
And then if it does, like, you know, grab me on top of the, like, pre-release hype type of thing, then I'm like, okay, now I'm really, like, enjoying this and I can, like, run through it. But if it doesn't, like, how Ratchet & Clank isn't totally, like, grabbing me. Like, granted, I missed kind of that window, that like false like pseudo window or whatever for myself a little bit. So I think I'm already slightly out of it. But in terms of like playing it, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is really fun. But also, I'm like, it's like a Ratchet and Clank yeah. game. It's like the 2016 game. So I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. You know, I'll come back to it. So that's makes kind sense. Of been the thing. And I've been jumping between stuff. But yeah, enough about all that stuff. Let's talk about some news, Michael. So, like we mentioned, this is the news that people can use, Michael, because it's a lot of important things going on over here in the land of video games, as always, you know. First one that we got here, Sony, Michael. Sony made some moves this past week. Some moves accidentally that are probably in the works and not like fully like ironed out yet, but they made some moves. And the first one, this first story comes from, I grabbed it from The Verge by John Porter. It says, Sony has acquired Returnal developer Housemarque, and they've hinted at Bluepoint being next. So earlier in the week, we got news that Housemarque, like I said, the people who made Returnal and things like Resogun, Nex Machina before that, they've been now brought into the Sony first-party family and everything. Along with that, though, Sony Japan apparently uploaded the wrong clip art to I think their tweet or announcement or something. Yeah, it was a tweet, and it's the same exact picture, but the you know logo of the studio is different, and you know still underneath it says welcome to the family. So the one that they accidentally uploaded said Bluepoint Games, which we know from having done like remakes of Shadow of the Colossus and Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an exciting bit of news for I think lots of reasons. But I think along with the Housemarque one and Blue Points, I think there's another one that I don't recognize.
I've never heard of, no. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like Nexus or something like that. And it sounds like they Swedish do...
one.
Yeah, yeah. I think like a Swedish developer, and they do PC ports.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of makes sense to have that type of thing. It's weird to think of... I guess we'll have to kind of see like what Nexus ends up working on and stuff, because it's weird to think of like a PC port focused studio to be brought in as PlayStation first party, because in my mind I'm like, okay, if they do PC ports mainly, maybe they got them to help out porting like some of these first party games to PC and whatnot.
That's what I would think, yeah.
But it's weird because, like, when you think first party, you think of them developing things for the actual, like, consoles and whatnot. So that's a little bit of a weird, like, vague kind of area, and we'll have to see what happens with that. But how do you feel about all this news, Michael?
It's cool. I would say Housemarque and Bluepoint, mm-hmm. I don't want to say are the obvious choices, but it makes a lot of sense because when I think in my head Housemarque and Bluepoint, I think of my brain goes to PlayStation because they've done a lot of things with PlayStation, like Shadow of the Colossus and Demon Souls and Housemarque with WrestleGun and Returnal. So it's not like something out of the blue, like, oh my God, they got this is crazy, but it's cool to see them say, this is ours. You're going to be with us. You can make games exclusively for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's cool because, you know, like you said, like they've kind of been, obviously Bluepoint, we should clarify, hasn't been confirmed yet, but basically because of this leak, it's pretty much understood that, like, yeah, this is happening type of thing. Unless it was just a weird
like, a fan jump in the gun kind of thing. Sony Japan just wanted this to happen.
Yeah, jump in the gun, being like, hey, we haven't sealed this deal yet, but let's put it out there and kind of make it happen.
It could be like how they do with I think there was during one Super Bowl, because they make commercials for both teams if they win. Oh. Commercials for, like, merch. Oh, here's the merch of the winning team. And I think they aired a commercial for the team that was behind by accident, like, real early.
Oh, weird.
And it was like, oh, this was a mistake. We did this by accident and stuff. That team ended up losing, so.
Oh, okay. Like, so it didn't matter. It wasn't like they willed it into existence or anything. But, okay. Yeah, I guess that kind of stuff probably does happen, but I feel like you don't see it super often. No. So this is kind of it's a surprise that this ended up being, like, what happened. But still cool kind of stuff. I like the idea of having, you know, for all the people that ask for, and, like, I'd say, like, hardcore, like, people and stuff that are asking for so many of these old Sony, like, properties and stuff to be remade and everything. Obviously, I'm sure Bluepoint wants to make their own things stuff, as well. But if, you know, if they, you know, want to make their stuff, but are fine with, like, and even, like, happy with making remakes of old things, like, with their own visions and whatnot, I feel like that's kind of a cool thing to be able to do. And have, like, somebody in, like, the first party studios that kind of specializes in that, because it's, you know, it's a constant thing where people are just like, oh man, they should bring back, like, X series over here and, like, Y series and all these different things, and people are just like, well, no, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna keep moving forward and stuff, and just
make AAA blockbusters for all our games.
Yeah, just to say goodbye to, like, Jack and Daxter forever type of thing.
Please no.
But maybe Bluepoint will be the one to bring it back, you know? Like, maybe. Who knows? That could be something because, like, do you want Naughty Dog to go and make another Jack and Daxter game? People listening of the world, maybe not, because they've been making awesome, like, Last of Us and Uncharted games and stuff like that, and it's way beyond what Jack and Daxter kind of ever was. So if you want the same kind of, like, you know, I'd say if you want the same type of, like, look and feel for those kinds of things, remakes work for that type of style maybe better than trying to make, like, the most realistic Jack and Daxter game you've ever seen
kind of thing. Well, I'm sure Naughty Dog could make a different Jack and Daxter.
Oh no, yeah.
I think I would want Naughty Dog to be the ones that do it.
Now, because I feel like they would have, translates good, because all of their games lately have been really dark and stuff.
I think they could. I don't think they're just, like, typecast. I don't say typecast. I don't think they're like, oh, you guys can only make dark games, like, since you've been doing it recently. I feel like I'm sure there's people working there that want to do something different. I'm sure they can. They've done it in the past with Jack and Daxter, so.
Yeah, and that was, like, because that's the thing, too, is, like, they, as far as I'm aware, right, they did the Jack and Daxter games, then moved on to Uncharted, and then moved on to The Last of Us, and then kind of went back and forth between those two.
Maybe, right? I think so.
Because I think Jack and Daxter is pretty old at this point, right? Like,
yes.
PS2 kind of
PS2,
times.
PS2, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the recent one was the racing game that came out.
Yeah, yeah. Jack and Daxter, like, Combat Racing X or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because if that's the case, like, moving from there to then, like, Uncharted and stuff is a huge, like, leap in terms of just, like, content and kind of, like, overall, like, feel of the games and stuff. True. And even, like, I'd say, like, even, like, seriousness. Because, like, Jack and Daxter, from what I've always seen, is very kind of, like, you know, there's some grittiness and everything in there. But it's not, like, you know, I don't, like, would you ever say that you, like, felt like you would cry in a Jack and Daxter game? kind of thing? Is that a thing ever like happened for you?
In two, there's moments that are pretty dark.
No, not dark.
Like
but
emotional,
I'm saying
dark. Like, this is sad kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, but did you ever cry in it? Because I mean, you're I would say you're like a hardened example of like you don't cry much in video games type of thing. Would it be enough to make you like cry?
In the right moment, it could.
Okay, what kind of moment?
If I was in the mindset to want to cry.
All right. Well, that's not a fair assessment there, then. You can't be like, if I'm feeling sad, let me go watch like, this Jack and Daxter.
It all depends. Like, if I jump into, like, a near game in a mindset where I'm not mentally in a good place, I'll cry. But if I'm normal, I could cry, but sometimes I might. I think it's just, depends on the day.
Oh, no, yeah. No, so, okay. Situation. So, like, on a normal day, you're feeling totally, like, normal and stuff, right? You're in, like, a neutral place. Not in, like, a sad place or a happy place where, like, nothing will make you cry type of thing. But, like, you're in, like, the middle. Like, is it emotionally enough, like, content-wise, to make you cry, you think?
The scene I'm thinking of, it could.
And I'm talking about Jack and Daxter as a whole. Because if you're talking about just one scene and one thing, that could be anything.
Probably
right?
not, no.
Yeah, okay, there we go. So if it's, like, as a whole, more kind of, like, you know, cartoony and like I would say like always uplifting and stuff, but it's got that type of like vibe where, you know, things are going on action wise and stuff, but it's comedy and things there, but it's not like, it's like Ratchet and Clank kind of, right? There can be like moments where you're like, oh man, pangs of like feelings type of thing, but that's not what it's like going for. Whereas I feel like when you get to more of these, like, I don't know if it's because they look more realistic and stuff or because, you know, they're like mainly like human characters and stuff, maybe we like feel more like empathy for that kind of thing.
Makes sense.
And so maybe we end up kind of latching on to like, you know, emotional scenes in those games. But I feel like they've kind of evolved past those types of like titles, I guess, in a way. And I'm sure like the people there, you know, if they wanted to make Jack and Daxter, they you know, I'm sure they'd you know, make it known and stuff. But it's like, I don't know, in my mind it's almost like people who make like, you know, regular like B movies suddenly moving up into like the A sphere and being like, oh man, you want to go make one of those B horror movies again? Maybe not. Let's kind of keep moving the craft forward and stuff and keep on making these like awesome blockbusters as opposed to like going back steps a little bit.
That makes I think I would argue that Insomniac does it with Ratchet and Clank and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. And they so it could be done. And they've got multiple studios in there. From what I understand, Naughty Dog has kind of two studios, right? Where it's like, I think there was news sometime this past year, I think, where they talked about how they kind of have two studios, but they never quite reached the maybe like the organizational level of like Insomniac and stuff from the sounds of things, where their two studios work on two different things and don't like. It's not like when a game gets close to being finished, it's all hands on deck on that one title type of thing. It sounds like Naughty Dog is way more likely to do that as opposed to like an Insomniac kind of thing. So it's like if they're kind of like constantly like one big body that splits up at times and then merges together like a giant slime or something. I've been thinking of D&D stuff lately. If they kind of like merge back together and they're like, you know, focus on this thing. And then we split up again to kind of work on things when it's in earlier stages and then we focus on the other thing and that kind of stuff. That kind of being the case, like, may make it harder to kind of make two different types of, like, games with two different types of, like, audiences, maybe in a way, right?
I get it. So makes sense.
It'd be interesting to kind of see. I mean, if they were to go back and make something like that, I'd be so surprised. On a business level, like, Sony-wise, I don't think Sony would ever let them go back to that. And that's I think one of the things too where I'm just like, I don't think we're
unless Ratchet and Clank has done so well, they're like, Naughty Dog, we need you to bring back Jack and Daxter.
And that's what I wonder too, is like, is Jack and Daxter at the level of Ratchet and Clank at this point in time now? Because there's been what, like, four Jack and Daxter games, right? If you include the combat racing thing.
Yes.
And then there's been
a bunch of Ratchet and Clank.
So many Ratchet and Clank games. Like, I wonder if they're kind of at the same level, or if Sony considers them to be the same level because they've had so many Ratchet and Clanks.
It might just be turned into like a Spyro thing, because Spyro had three games and they did a remaster?
It's like it was a remaster.
Yeah. So Jack and Daxter could go down that path in a sense. So I would say Spyro is popular, but I wouldn't say he's
He's not more popular than not more popular than like, I don't know, Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of those types of things, like, I think because so like Spyro was for sure like a full remaster. Yeah, it was a remaster collection, right?
Yeah.
And then Jack and Dexter had a remaster collection on the PS4. Because they had a collection of 1, 2, 3, and then the Combat Racing X game, whatever it's called. Because they had that whole package. It was way before the whole Spyro thing.
It's more like an HD upgrade. Because do you not
consider that a remaster?
No. I would say it was just HD updated graphics.
Okay. Isn't that kind of what a remaster is? Is like just upgrading the graphics and things there? When you remake it, that's when you're kind of changing things
Spyro
in the games.
Completely, the new Spyro looks completely different from the old Spyro.
So then maybe they just did it better? Yeah, maybe.
I think it's closer to a remake than a remaster, or because the HD...
This is interesting. So a remake is something like Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's the easiest example, where they like physically change things in the game, like story-wise, that happen, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically a different vision of the game. Whereas like the remasters of like Spyro, you know, it's a remaster because, you know, they maybe make it look super good compared to what it used to look like, but it's the exact same games.
Okay, so that's remake. Spyro is remastered.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jack and Daxter is an HD collection.
Okay. Now I guess then I'm just not sure what the difference is between an HD collection and a remaster.
Crisper look. Mm. Because the visuals, maybe the character models and stuff look exactly the same. It's just like crisper looking.
Okay. So it's just so literally just less time was put into an HD remaster kind of thing,
basically.
Or HD, what do you even call it?
HD collection.
Okay. Yeah, because I was gonna say an HD remaster could be a thing in itself as
and
well.
And it could be a whole thing where they just didn't put enough time to it, and with the Spyral one, they just put a bunch of time into it.
Okay.
To make it look so a kind lot of more modern.
Yeah, I was gonna say like you make more tweaks to it and stuff to make it look way more modern. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so then I guess there potentially could be room for like a Jack and Daxter.
Could just be wishful thinking, collection. Though, probably, on my end.
It'd be super interesting, because then, having the HD collection, but then also like later down the line, a like remastered collection. I feel like we'd probably have people having those same kind of conversations that we're having right now.
Probably.
Like, what's the difference? why
is there two of them?
Yeah, like why do these both need to exist type of thing? At that point, it would probably have to be a remake since you've got the HD collection, which is fairly new. So interesting stuff there. But not as interesting, Michael, as Ghost of Tsushima getting a director's cut.
This is cool.
My gosh, I'm so excited. I didn't realize how excited I was till I just said I'm so excited.
It's such a good game.
It's so much fun. So this coming from, I'm grabbing this straight from the PlayStation blog. Good old Andrew Goldfarb, the Dark Knight of News, he was once called. Yeah, works over at Sucker Punch, which is why he was one of the people doing this blog post and whatnot. Basically kind of, letting people know, like, hey, director's cut's on its way. It'll be available for PS4 and PS5. People that own the PS4 version of the original game can purchase, I think, the upgrade to the director's cut. And I'm trying to see where the actual monetary amounts of that was. It's kind of a breakdown type of thing. Where is it at? Okay, here we go. So let's see. Okay, so the director's cut's launching on the 20th of August for $69.99 on PS5. $59.99 on PS4. Lots of words. There we go. You can pre-order an upgrade. So if you already own it on PS4, you can pre-order an upgrade to the director's cut on PS4 for $19.99. Mm. You can also upgrade. So if you bought the director's cut on PS4, so that's another whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
If you bought the director's cut on PS4, you can upgrade it anytime to the director's cut on PS5 for $9.99. Or you can just upgrade directly from the original one on PS4 to the director's cut on PS5 for $29.99.
Okay.
So, yeah, like Michael said, about $30 if you want the director's cut and you already own the regular game. So, very, very cool. Along with just kind of, things looking way better than they already did. They already looked crazy. And it's going to be, I think, more like 4K, 60 FPS kind of thing running on that natively and whatnot. And then along with that, you're going to be getting the DLC, I guess you could call it, where DLC expansion where you visit the island of Iki, and that one's gonna have its own like new story and stuff available.
That's there.
Cool. And I don't think this is the case where it's only on PS5, like Final Fantasy VII Remake, right? It's on.
I think it's also PS5.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, I think that's right. I don't know why they'd let you upgrade to this on PS4 if it was only on PS5. Yeah. So makes sense. But very cool looking, Michael. Very cool. You gonna jump into this? You think?
I want to. I want to save it for a PS5 because I want to see how it looks on the PS5.
Yeah, that's another nice thing too.
I might just cave and just do it because I really want to jump back into Ghost of Tsushima. I have nothing else to do in the game, so unless Legends mode, but multiplayer stuff. So that's
yeah. And the nice thing about Legends mode is it's free, so you play it if you want. Maybe we can play it, Michael. We play some Legends over here. Some sneaky, sneaky, stabby, stabby with the ghosts.
If I'm not occupied with Guilty Gear, maybe.
That's probably true. Yeah. If anything, we should do that. We should play Guilty Gear, get really good at it by fighting sticks.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Oh, man. But very exciting. Very cool to see all this stuff. Do you remember the load times from Ghost of Tsushima? Yeah, I thought it was already
really
fast.
It was very fast.
And in the article, they also said that they've dramatically improved the load times, which is
crazy.
Maybe
there's no load times. You blink and it's there.
Yeah, it's like a few seconds and it's like, boom. But yeah, very, very cool. I'm excited to get back into being a samurai and everything. I think this would be something that I could probably pop back into without like fear of kind of losing it, because I was already really invested in this
Can't
world.
Imagine it being a long DLC, unless you wanted to play the whole game and then do the DLC.
Yeah, that'd be a lot. I think there is they did add trophies, I think, for the, what would you call that, New Game Plus kind of playthrough. Mm. I think if you wanted to do that, they might have had a similar thing where they added in like a higher difficulty as well. So I think doing both of those things maybe nets you like two extra trophies, but they'll have new trophies as well for this this DLC, not standalone, but this DLC from the Island of Iki. So very, very cool. I'm excited for this one.
Give me more Japanese stuff, man.
I know, man. Got a lot of cool Japanese stuff. You know, since we're talking about new games and director's cuts and all these things, let's just jump straight into the last story. I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. We're doing the story by Jeff Grubb.
Good old Jeff. I love
good old industry heavyweight Jeff.
Been listening
Grubb.
To his podcast with Mike. I can't think of his last name, but
Ponerero.
Minutoni or something like that. But he's also at Gamesbeat. They do like a podcast thing.
Gotcha.
Real good.
Okay.
Real good.
That makes sense. I'm grabbing this from VentureBeat, but didn't realize that VentureBeat is part of Gamesbeat or vice versa. Something.
One of the two.
Something there. That's why I was just like, I'm so confused. I keep seeing Gamesbeat be talked about, but then also I'm on VentureBeat. And I'm just like, I don't know which one's which. I don't visit the site.
They're all owned by Jeff Grubb.
Yeah, it's all Jeff Grubb. Jeff Grubb mentions, though, that Dead Space Remake is now in the works at Motive. And this is coming, this happened, this news dropped a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. So pretty recent,
This one's right up your alley, because the only relation I have to Dead Space is just watching you play it.
Oh, really? Yeah, you never played them?
Never touched them.
Oh, man. This will be the perfect time, Michael.
Oh, no. See, you play it. It's cool this is coming out, but man, there's no way I'm touching these games.
Oh, man. It's very, very, very cool, though. So I'm just going to read a little bit from his thing. Electronic Arts has... Yeah, okay. Star Wars Battlefront... This part of the sentence confused me the first time I read it, also. Electronic Arts has Star Wars Battlefront 2 co-developer Motive working on a new Dead Space game. Eurogame and Gamatsu first reported the existence of the game, and Gamesbeat can see that's where I got confused. Gamesbeat and VentureBeat can confirm parts of what each outlet has heard. While a new Dead Space is coming, Motive is rebooting the franchise for a full-fledged remake. Mm. Oh, I'm excited, Michael. The one thing that I've been wanting for a while was like Dead Space to come back.
Yep.
Which was never gonna happen. We were never gonna get Dead Space 4, and I wasn't asking for Dead Space.
Didn't
4.
Didn't the games kind of like decline and like?
I think in
like
terms
one was
of
great, two was pretty good, and then three was.
Yeah, and I think that's just where like the overall kind of style of the game changed over time. Yeah. Kind of like how the Resident Evil series changed
more
over
action.
Time. Yeah, it became, you know, you went from 4 being amazing, and then you went to 5, and it was just like, what? And then you went to 6, and more like, what? So it got real, like, weird for a bit there, and then you went to 7, and you're like, oh, this is cool. Nice
first
and spooky
person's weird,
again.
But it's spooky again.
Yeah, and kind of going a little bit back there, and then you finally started to get the remakes of, you know, 2 and 3, and people are like, okay, cool, I want this. But this is something that's like Dead Space has been gone for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. And like this year in October, it'll be 13 years old, the first Dead Space.
Dang.
So it's been over 10 years since this happened.
Wow.
It was back in like 2008. And I'm just like, it's an old game now.
I remember just sitting in your room watching you play this game and being, man, what? This is the worst.
And like, it's like the Resident Evil games where it's not that scary.
Yeah.
It's just like adrenaline filled, yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's like,
and not in the action sense. Like, it's like in the, oh man, there's something around this corner. I know it.
Like Alien. Yeah. I wouldn't consider Alien scary, but just like tense and like, suspenseful and like
mm-hmm. Yeah, it gives you that like what's called rumbly tumbly feeling. I can't think of a better way to describe it.
That's perfect.
That's it, there you go, rumbly tumbly. But the weird thing is that, like, you know, and that's probably as far into the thing as we need to go. There's not a whole lot of information about it right now. Mm-hmm. There was one funny thing in here that part of the things that was cited as to why they started to move away from why EA started to move away from single player experiences was because Mirror's Edge Catalyst didn't do super well. And I'm like, come on guys, is that really your reasoning? I don't think so.
Not a good reason.
That's a poor reason.
People like that game.
Yeah, and that's what the thing is, like, some people liked Mirror's Edge and it's kind of got this own cult following and stuff, and those people probably also played Catalyst.
Yep.
But like large scale? Nah, guys. That was never going to make you money, type of thing. No. And you had to go into that knowing that.
Yeah. It's a parkour game.
Yeah, exactly. It's a parkour, futuristic kind of like unique niche type of thing. Yeah. It's not even like on the scale of like, what's that game that we're getting a sequel to? Dying Light. It's not even on the scale of Dying Light, because Dying Light's got that whole like zombie thing going for it. This one is like guards pop up every so often, but you're kind of more avoiding them.
Is there even combat in it?
There can be, yeah. Okay. I think you can also avoid combat with certain things, but there is some combat in there. It's just, you know, the main thing is supposed to be the parkour type of thing.
Right.
And it's just like, well, it's okay.
It's okay.
So that's why it's like, if this was really EA's reasoning to being like, nah, guys, we're not doing single player anymore, then it's like, all right, you guys did this on purpose then, so you wouldn't have to.
It sounds like a cover.
Mm-hmm.
Live like service. A cover
up. Yeah, yeah. So they wanted to do that, but because, what's the game? Fallen Order, the Star Wars game, did so well. They're like, hey, maybe we can actually do more of these single player things, and they might be good ideas. So if that's what brought you back, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Just give me a Dead Space game. This sounds cool.
Now, would you, hypothetical situation, would you mm-hmm. want a Dead Space game or a Splinter Cell game? If you can only have one or the other.
You gonna make me choose between
these
things?
Don't make you choose this hypothetical world I've just created.
I'd kill Dead Space.
Makes sense.
I'd kill it. I'd bring Splinter Cell back.
I feel Splinter Cell's more up your alley anyway.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I love the Dead Space games, but Splinter Cell, I think, has been more consistently good.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Dead Space 3 was, like, not bad, but it wasn't, like,
it wasn't
great.
Dead Space, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's kind of where I'd be at there. But the other weird thing is that we are getting, I forget what the studio name is. We're getting that the Callisto Protocol, supposedly, next year from, I think, some of the people who developed Dead Space originally.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm like, man, are these games about to exist like at the same time in the same year type of thing? Or is this Dead Space remake going to be like 2023 so we don't have to worry about it?
You know, that sounds more like.
That's where I'm like, oh, man, this will be interesting to see like how this plays out. Like, how far along are they on this? And are we going to maybe get them on top of each other kind of thing? Who knows?
Can you imagine, I don't know, we'll say 2023, 2024,
mm-hmm.
one of those years, a year having Breath of the Wild 2, whatever mm-hmm. it's going to be called, Dead Space remake, a Metal Gear Solid remake, Final Fantasy 7 2 remake, whatever they're going to call that, all in the same year.
Ugh. Yeah. Doesn't sound Jesus like fun Christ. In terms of mind space and whatnot. Oh my gosh, too many things coming out, Michael. This, the end of this year and then next year are already looking crazy. So it's a lot of things that are going to be going on there.
We need more time.
Yeah, we do. Honestly, they just need to stop making so many games.
That's never going to happen.
Because nobody has time for all these things, you know what I'm saying? Oh man, Michael, what are we going to do?
Just stop playing video games, you know?
Oh my gosh, no way.
Move on to more better things like weightlifting and all that.
Getting swole? Is that what you're saying?
Have you seen those videos of those weightlifters that are like, oh, video games are for or people who aren't men kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh, really?
So stupid. It's so stupid.
Yeah, and steroids are for people that, you know, aren't people. That's
exactly.
Fine. Exactly. So it's whatever. Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right, let's move on. I'm fed up with that talk of idiot weightlifters. So let's segue from there to why indie publishers are fed up with PlayStation, Michael. This is coming from a long article by Rebecca Valentine over at IGN. And I really do recommend people go and actually read this because it's super interesting. I'm not sure if you've had time to like see this during the week and stuff. Right? Yeah, it's long. That's why. Like, it took me, I think, a decent like 30 minutes probably to read through this thing. But there's a lot of good like behind the scenes info kind of gleaned from this article and whatnot, from, you know, her talking with kind of these different sources and everything, different game developers that have had these issues. And kind of the main underlying theme is they've had a lot of like trouble sometimes with Sony in terms of communication. It sounds like communication breakdowns for a lot of these things. And it's a weird kind of like insight into like the inner workings of these kinds of like business things going on.
I think I don't want to assume this, but it feels like Sony just wants big AAA games. Mm-hmm. That's really all they care about. Indie games, they have the thing with Shuhei and stuff, the indie program and stuff, but I don't think they really care about that.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is like that, you know, in the story, like the kind of reading through, there are parts in there where they're, you know, developers have said like, you know, it's difficult for indies, even at other studios, and it's kind of been this weird cycle of whichever company, if we just talk about the main three, like Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, if we talk about those main three, whichever one has been on top generally cares the least about indie things and is all like in on the AAA kind of stuff. Yeah. And then the other ones tend to be like, oh, indies, come over here, we love you. And then, you know, when they eventually, you know, become bigger as like a platform and everything, then they're just like, okay, like, you know, we still love you, but like, you know, you stay in that corner over there and we'll be back eventually. Kind of that kind of feeling, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously the indies, like, they feel it and they see these kind of like patterns and things, which sucks. Like the whole idea of it kind of going up and down like that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things they pointed out in here was that, like, you know, the back end of like game submissions and that type of like conversation between the developers and like the companies and stuff usually is a lot more difficult with Sony, and it's kind of been like that for a while, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But it feels like recently there's kind of been signs of this before these stories came out, like with, like, for me at least, like thinking of it, it was like Ender Lily's for some reason all of a sudden being like, okay, we're not coming out on the PlayStation. Xbox thing is here, but PlayStation is going to be sometime later this year. And it's like, what? That's weird.
It's also like with Hades. They
first
came out on the Switch after early access, and then they had an announcement for the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a tweet, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, it's coming to PlayStation also.
Yeah. And part of the Hades one might also be because Hades is coming to Game Pass.
Could be that too.
Probably a promotion-wise, they contractually, I would assume, needed to kind of focus on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, yeah, like, it came out on the Switch way before it came out on, you know, Xbox and PlayStation. So kind of the idea there, you know, it seems to make sense that, like, hey, it's a lot easier sometimes to get things out on other platforms as opposed to, like, you know, Sony and sometimes even Microsoft from the sound of things. So it's a weird kind of situation, but I wanted to kind of throw in a few highlights from the story because I wouldn't say like highlights, it's like a few like key points that I kind of picked up on. One of them was that it's pretty expensive to try and get like your game featured in any way on the platform, on PlayStation specifically. So the range that they kind of gave was like the low end of this, or I'll start with the high end. The high end is like $200,000 for like good placements on like the PlayStation Store, in like features and whatnot. And crazy expensive already. I'm like, that's
unnecessary.
That's unnecessary at this point. But along with that, they, you know, the low end they gave, where apparently in, you know, it's in the story as well, but they mentioned like, you know, a conversation between Sony and kind of like a group of, it was like an actual like conference type of thing, it sounded like a meeting and whatnot. And it was just like, hey, like, you know, if you guys do want to, you know, feature your game on the store and whatnot, you know, you can do this for about like $25,000. And that, and what the developers were saying is that's on top of what they already pay Sony for things like developer kits and just kind of like the process of getting your game on the platform already. And I think some of the things that they mentioned in there was that for some of these developers, like, that is, you know, way more than the entire like marketing budget of like your game type of thing. So it's like, you can't do that kind of thing for just like a small spot that may not even like, you know, help the sales and whatnot there. So
that's crazy.
It's super crazy, man.
When you were talking about that, something popped in my head. And I know it's probably a bad comparison, but it's kind of, on the small round, it's kind of the same. It's almost like when you apply to a college, you have to pay student loans, or you have to pay to get there, but then you also have to pay for the application to just submit an application. Mm-hmm. So submitting it to Manoa was like $120.
Jeez. Yeah.
I'm like, is that
necessary? Do I need to pay you this before I'm actually in the school?
That the Sony one, I don't want to say makes more sense, but it's almost weird things just to, you know, just to be able to be shown or be on this platform, be able to go to this thing, you have to pay money.
And that's the weird thing too, is that like, I don't quite understand business wise why you'd be like, hey, like, maybe like, especially for small developers and stuff, if that is like the low end, like $25,000 is the low end of things.
That's crazy.
Like, you have to know that like nearly nobody is going to be able to afford this.
Yeah. Right?
In terms of just like everyday, like run of the mill kind of game. And I think I would say that, like, seemingly that's kind of where Shuhei's project kind of comes into play, is that, like, if Sony thinks that a indie game looks really, like, promising and stuff, then they can reach out to kind of, like, feature it and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I guess the developers don't need to kind of pay that type of thing. But, you know, the weird kind of trade-off is that, you know, that just means that, like, you get a select few really cool-looking indie games, and maybe those ones, like, critically do really well, but in terms of, like, you know, there's, like, huge, like, birth of games that are not being shown at all.
Oh, yeah.
And are just, like, relegated to, like, weirdos like me who go to the PlayStation, like, store on a daily basis and be like, hey, like,
what is this game?
What's new on the store today kind of thing, right? Like, you gotta go switch the filter to be like, hey, filter it to from, was it newest to oldest kind of things? And you'd be like, okay, well, this looks new. I didn't see this yesterday. Yep. This has changed. Oh, this game's out. Okay, cool. Let's check it out. That kind of thing. And that's not your average like person doing this kind of thing.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and this type of thing doesn't seem like it makes business sense, at least to me, because I'm just like Sony makes money off of every game sale on their platform, right? Like, you get some kind of cut for that. And why would you want to make it harder for games to, you know, make money, right? If it's going to make you money in the long run as well. Like, if people always say that, like, the software sales is where console, you know, not manufacturers, console, like, companies make the most of their money and whatnot. They don't make it off console sales. They make it off of software sales.
Yeah.
So if you're making it harder for people to buy games, like, that they, you know, would enjoy, or find the games they enjoy, like, why would you want to do that to yourself? You're, like, you know, hurting your own, like, chances at getting things that you want.
They must think it doesn't have a huge effect on them.
Yeah.
Like, if we make a remaster of Last of Us 2, if we make another God of War 2 or whatever, that's going to just give us more money than having this indie game that nobody knows about featured.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, the
sucks.
It must be that they must get maybe more like mid or like high tier indie like companies and stuff are successful enough to do these kind of things and will pay that money to be featured.
Example, like Chicory.
Oh yeah, Chicory. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're the makers of Night in the Woods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so. Also, I think I remember too, the guy who made that also made Wandersong.
Yep.
Which is super good. Man, I love that game. But I mean, like, that one was also one that was picked up by Shuhei's program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that one makes sense as to like why it's being like featured in certain areas. That's, but
good track record.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, also at the same time, it's like, the so they're on the store. I'm not sure, I forget what it looks like on the PS4 because I haven't used it in a while, but on the the store on the PS5, there's a section where it's, you can click on it. And it's like, oh, like, you know, discover new indies type of thing, right? I went in there the other day when this story, I was kind of reading through this story just to kind of see, like, comparison-wise, like, what kind of things are shown and whatnot. And there's, like, at the time I saw it yesterday, there was about, like, 43 games on there, which is super tiny, to be fair. But also, I think only about, like, 5 or 6 of those games on there. One of them wasn't out yet. Yeah. And it's Kena: Bridge of Spirits. The other 5, I think, that were, out of the 6 that I just mentioned, were games that came out this year.
Yeah.
And we're like halfway through the year. So like 6 games that have come out from this year are featured on there. And then whatever the, 43. So that makes 37. The other 37 games all came out, in the past year or like further type of thing. And I'm just like, that's not a great, like, system you got going on there. It's a lot of, like, bigger name indie games and not, like, really cool ones that, like, probably deserve, like, spots as well. I'm just like, yeah,
it's weird. Have to search that? Because I know on the PS4 you have to go to the games tab, you have to go to the genre tab, and then you have to scroll all the way over to find, discover indies at the end. Then you got to click it, and then it pops up the screen.
You have to kind of search for it. So it's like because the PS5 store looks a little bit different where... Yep. You know, there's like, it starts you off on like the, what they call like the latest kind of like tab and whatnot. You think you go one tab over to collections. And then when you go down from there, I think there's like 3 or 4 like main big bubbles. One of them for like, what is it? Those like critic picks from like PlayStation kind of thing. And those are usually like bigger title things. And then they have, I think a couple over from that is like the Discover Indies type of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool to see this, but it's not like one of the first things you see.
You have to look for it.
Yeah, like one of the first things you see like lately has been like, Ratchet and Clank, got your Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, and PlayStation Plus, things like that. It's like, all right, you see these things all the time, and you're like, okay, guys, like I get it. I know you want to show the big stuff. Does
something that's always on there.
Yeah, it's like, I know you want to see the big stuff, but some people also want to see like some of these like cool things that they didn't know about, and it's like, how are you going to get more people invested in these smaller like games and stuff if you don't actually show them the smaller games? It's like, so frustrating.
Some of all of it's just priorities of what they think will make them more money.
Yeah, and honestly they probably do make them more money.
Oh, probably, but
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't, I can't see how it would hurt to like show more like indie things.
Completely agree.
Like, would you actually lose sales on big games? Probably not, because I would think most like, I guess casual is probably the right word. More like casual gamers that play really, really only like big releases probably don't even need to like search through the store to be like, oh, I want to play this. Yep. They just kind of like, oh, I know that the God of War game is coming out sometime next year. I'm going to play that when it comes out, right? Or like, oh, GTA 6 is going to be coming out in like 5 years. I'm going to go play that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, right? Sounds about right. So that's the case. It's like, you don't need to advertise to them. Like, you got to advertise these other things that people don't know they're looking for. But when they see it, they're like, oh, that looks really cool. Let's jump on that.
Yep.
As opposed to like, oh, Ratchet and Clank is here. Let's go play it.
We know,
like,
about this.
Like, we know this is coming out. You guys did a whole state of play on it. Yep. It's like, come on, guys. You don't need this extra type of thing. But yeah, weird company.
That's why decisions. We're not business guys, I guess.
I guess, yeah. I mean, if you guys want to hire us, Sony, like, let us know. Like, we'll throw out ideas that might help you.
You hire me, you're making Jack and Daxter Remake. You're making all this, like, Cooper.
All right. Well, I think the advertisement side is a little bit different from the industry.
You're not like advertising anything else.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting and weird kind of stuff. Yeah. But I think they even mentioned on here, like, being fair to the other like side of things too, because it's not all just Sony. There are issues with all the kind of like console sides of things. I think they said that even like Nintendo's indie support has kind of started to dry up in recent years because they've been getting more and more like Nintendo first party type of games coming out.
Nintendo's just shady themselves. They have their own
Nintendo's got their own issues, basically. But yeah, it's just kind of like once you have your big like titles coming out and everything, you don't need the indies anymore. And that's, it's a sad kind of thing that always like seems to happen, apparently.
I think it also translates to other media too, because I'll bring up this example for like when I went to the theater, we would get those big budget Hollywood blockbuster movies. We'd put like 5 or 6 of those posters up in the front on the hallway where everybody could see them. And like the smaller, not really that well-known ones, but cool indie movies,
Way down
all the way down by Theater 9, you know what I'm talking about, all the way in the back where no one can really see. And then we would take that poster down like in a week.
Yeah. It's like, why'd you even spend the money to make this poster?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
This
sucks. It's a weird kind of world we live in. But hopefully, like, over time, things can get better.
Hopefully,
if people keep talking about it enough, that, like, the companies will be like, hey, like, you know, people seem to care about this. Let's maybe kind of do things a little bit differently, or at least kind of try to make some changes. Because slow changes are better than no changes.
Exactly.
Know? So. Well, that was your guys' weekly wisdom from the Bros and Cosmos podcast over here. But let's move on from the depressing stuff, Michael. I think since we've reached the end of our news, I'm gonna throw out we'll just do some quick updates. Right. So obviously we got some updates for news at the beginning, but this is just fantasy critic updates.
Ah.
Got some things going on here now, Michael. So I am full on my list finally.
And I
added more slots.
I bid on a couple of those games that you bid on.
Yeah, I think I saw you bid on Metroid Dread.
I bid on Metroid Dread and Diablo.
Oh,
and
Shin Megami Tensei?
Yeah. So I didn't bid a lot because I was like, okay, Nathan will probably do Metroid Dread and maybe Shin Megami. I didn't think you'd do Diablo 2.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I didn't bid a lot because I'm like, okay, there could be other games that I really want to try for. So I think this might, unless you're going to be dropping him, this might come to bite you that you're a full list already.
It's,
maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I filled up my list way faster than you did, hence the extra spots that we got over time. But I think so far from what I can see on here, because I've tried to look through my list as I've been, like, adding things where I'm like, okay, like, do I want this on here or do I want to drop it? And I'm like, okay, Jet the Far Shore, do I want this on here or do I want to drop it? Final Fantasy 16, do I want it or do I want to drop it? And basically what it's coming down to is because we set those rules of, like, you can drop three games that don't have a release date in, like, the year, and otherwise you can't drop any more type of thing. I think I've dropped two.
Oh.
And...
Yeah, one more.
Yeah, I've got one more that I could drop if I wanted to. So, basically there's that. If 16 is announced that it's not coming out this year, then I'll get a free drop, which is nice. And I think... What was it? God of War, I was able to drop in the past because they told us 2022, and I'm like, all right, fine. You guys suck. You're just doing this to me on purpose over here.
Yeah.
But because of that, I think I'm close to that cap. I think you may be close to that cap also.
I think I dropped a couple. I think
yeah,
two.
Like one or two. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So we're both at that area, basically, where we can't really afford to drop more things, but because you have the ability to add more stuff, you could potentially still do that kind of thing. It's all just going to kind of see how, like, things, like, work out over time, because looking at the list right now, obviously you still have spaces in there.
Yeah.
The things I have on the list are pretty spaced out, so it'll keep on getting points throughout the year type of thing. It's not like all the points are going to be there in the next, like, month or two, and then I'm just kind of waiting to see what you get. So it'll still continue to change, which I think is more interesting than just, like, okay,
getting everything
my list is done, right?
Yeah.
It's gonna just be based on kind of like what else
comes out
and like catches our eyes and stuff, because then it's like, oh man, I'll just be looking at it and be like, I can't grab that. Oh well.
I'll bid this new Mario and Donkey Kong game for $1 because Nathan can do it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that kind of worked out in your favor, because as we kind of went through the year, or I guess half the year, because we're not full through year yet, I've kind of slowly bid on things somewhat strategically, where I was like, okay, I think Michael will bid maybe this much, so I'll bid, you know, $1 more type of thing. And it's worked throughout the year, to the point where, like, you still had a bunch of money, and that's why you for sure won that Forza Horizon 5 bet, because I think I bet like $10 on it, and 25. You bet 25, and I was like, yeah, I can't make big moves like that no more. I guess I could have. I just was like, I'm like, Michael's not gonna do this. That's ridiculous. But then he did. So I think that was the first time where the amount of budget you had was actually lower than mine for the first time. And I was like, whoa, Michael made a huge purchase there. But because I was able to kind of fill my thing up now, you know, I've got some there in case I want like one more drop later on, or, you know, for whatever reason, something's announced that they're not coming out.
Yep.
So if that's the case, then I still have the ability to add things if I need to. But, you know, obviously now you can just kind of be like, okay, I want this thing for $1 and this for $1, that kind of stuff. And it works out for both of us.
It does.
So
it'll be a close race. I feel like it.
Yeah. I think looking at everything so far, it's, I think when you look at like the numbers wise, when you just take a quick glance at the numbers, it looks like your list is really heavy on like the high hitting scores.
Mm-hmm.
But then I did like an average of like the things, and because of the Biomutant -3 on there, the average makes it like more similar to kind of what my average is also. So I have a kind of tighter spread of numbers, except for stupid Mario Golf Super Rush that messed me up. I had a tighter spread of numbers, but it was kind of in that like mid-tier type of area where yours was like either really super high or like really low type of thing. So it's like, okay, we're doing well, both of us. Now it's going to be a pretty close race to the end. So I'm excited. Not excited for a 12-minute score when it comes up.
Oh, I am hoping that at least gets me like 15.
If it's at least like an 80, it's going to be a good score kind of thing.
Minus 10 punch tree, that would be great.
Yeah. I mean, we got the minus 10 for Pokemon Snap, so that would make it right even there. And then it just depends on how well Back for Blood does, because you had a minus 8 for Bravely Default 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then if Back for Blood is in that 70s kind of range, then I'd be like, okay, that's what I expect it to be when we looked at our things originally. And I was like, Back for Blood, like, I know some people are like, man, I really want another Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. But like, do you really want another Left 4 Dead?
Right.
Like when people play it, are they really going to want it? You know,
yeah,
I'm just like, I don't know about that. So that was my like thinking at the time. And in 12 minutes, I was just betting it wasn't going to come out. So that was an honest, just like, man, I messed myself up there. I should have gone with Elden Ring at the time. Would have been a better bet.
It was funny when you'd say that. I don't think it's coming out. But I remember the last time you said that, I was on Twitter and I saw the creator has his, or the 12 minutes page, got his ratings. He's like, oh, coming soon. I'm like, oh. Okay, this is definitely coming this year. This is definitely coming this year.
Yeah, and throughout the year, when we first got, I forget when it showed up. It wasn't at the Microsoft conference, because I think that's where they finally gave the dates. But it was the one before that where they were like, hey, like we're showing 12 minutes again, cool trailer and all that, and then just nothing.
Yeah,
like no dates, not even like showing the year again. I'm just like. I'm like, really? Like, when are you guys going to do anything about this? Yep. And that's why I was like, okay, this is giving me hope it's not coming out. And then they dropped the date. And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever.
I will also say that you have, I would say you have one, two, now this is just could happen, two games that I can see on this list that might not come out here.
Yeah.
With Horizon and Halo. Those are the two that I feel that there could be a chance, like a slight chance.
I think for sure Halo's going to hit. When you said two, I thought you were going to say Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, I forgot that. Okay, Horizon. Then three maybe.
Yeah.
I will say with mine, though, which I think it might help you, I have one, two, three, four or five.
Dang, okay.
That could, because Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
Bayonetta 3.
Uh-huh. Those are two I was saying there.
Cuphead.
Delicious Last Court. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sifu. I'm not even sure that, because we've just gotten footage. Haven't really gotten anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they said this year, but that was it.
Okay.
I could have a couple games that won't even come out, so.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to see, too. I mean, obviously, there's still a lot of time before the end of the year. We've still got another, like, 5 months or so. So we'll see like how many other games I guess pop up there, but man, it's just there's so many different things.
I will promise you though, if I do end up winning, I will walk in with a title belt.
Oh yeah, do it. Do it. Go make that title belt, Michael. Use the remaining whatever budget you've got on there for a title belt.
Oh god.
It's not even real money that we're using.
Not even real money.
But yeah, that'll be a lot of fun to see that though. Now, Michael. Since we're done with pretty much all the main news updates and things like that for this week, why don't you take me on a little side quest?
Oh, I will. So this week is going to be Nathan's PlayStation Trophies Extreme Tough Quiz.
Oh, jeez.
So it's just going to be a quiz on all Nathan's trophy list, escapades, just everything.
Okay. Okay, now that you make it sound way bigger than it's actually. It's going to be five questions.
Oh, there's 15
still, right?
questions.
What?
No, there's only
5. Oh, I was like, oh, dang. I was like, oh my gosh.
No, there's still only 5. All multiple choice.
All right.
So I think you will get a couple of these.
Well,
hopefully. A couple might be a little hard, but we'll see.
Oh my gosh.
We'll
see.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
On June 16th, 2013.
Oh my God.
The great, arguably obsessive journey began. What was your very first trophy?
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
A,
oh,
man. Eco.
Uh-huh.
Rescue Yorta. B, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, welcome to the club. Reach Sergeant level 10 in a multiplayer public match. C, Tales of Graces F, Bryce in 60 seconds, defeated that jerk with a claw in a minute or less. Or D, Sonic Generations, because we all know you're a secret Sonic fan.
Oh my gosh. I think I remember that being the Black Ops one.
Black Ops, is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Nice, okay. When you give the date, I was like, oh my God, we're not going into dates here. But that made more sense for a first trophy type of thing.
Okay, here we go. Number two.
Okay.
On April 6th,
oh my God, you're the worst. 2016,
at exactly 3:36 p.m., you interestingly chose this game as your first taste of this amazing game series. Unfortunately, you have yet to go back. A, Persona 4 Strikers. B, Final Fantasy X. C, Metal Gear Solid 2. Or D, Splinter Cell. It's a shame you've never really gotten to that series. You'd probably like it.
I think it's the Metal Gear one.
Metal Gear Solid 2 is your final answer?
Yeah.
You'd be wrong. Persona 4 Strikers.
Oh, okay. Man, when you said that, in my head, I was like, I was thinking of the, what's the recent game that came out?
The music one? Or they did a Persona 5 Strikers.
Yeah, that's, I was like, I ain't never played that game.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. Is it called Persona 4 Strikers? Mm-hmm. It's not Persona 4, like, Ultimate Arena or something?
I think it's like Persona 4 Strikers Arena Max or something, but I just did the first three.
Okay, I call foul play. I think I get a foul half point play for that.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Number three. I make the rules here.
Hey.
Number three, Bayonetta is one of my favorite games and series. Mm-hmm. However, she's very lonely on your consoles and trophy list, resulting in only 6 trophies across 2 versions of the game. Mm. And they are the exact same 3 trophies.
Oh, are they really?
That's funny. They're the exact same 3 trophies. What date did you get the very first one?
Oh, man.
A, December 17th, 2017. B, June 15th, 2018. C, November 11th, 2016. Or D, I don't even have a funny joke for this one. I'm just sad.
Let's go with whatever one was the 2017 one.
The December 17th, 2017?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, sure.
You'd be incorrect.
Dang.
It's November 11th, 2016.
I was 16. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I looked it up. I'm like, man, you have the same exact trophies for each version you played.
That's funny. Because it's what? Like, there's probably the Witch Time one.
Yeah, the Witch Time one. There is a...
So, like, beating the first level? Is that a thing?
I don't know if it was beating the first level or beating something at the beginning.
Okay.
And then there was one, like, getting, I think, like, doing torture attacks.
Ah, yep. Makes sense.
Number four. Mm. Over the years, you have acquired a buttload of trophies. However... How many have you acquired in total?
Oh my gosh.
A, 11,201. Now, this might not be
the most updated, maybe.
It's what I saw this morning.
This morning, it might be updated.
Okay.
I haven't earned anything this morning.
Okay. So, 11,201. Mm-hmm. B, 13,192. C, 12,627. God, all big numbers. Or D, 1. It's all been a lie.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. So read that to me again. So it's either like something 12,000.
11,201.
Uh huh.
B, 13,192. Mm-hmm. Or C, 12,627.
I'm going to do the 13,000 one.
13,192?
You didn't say a 14,000 one, did you? Okay, I'm going to say 13,000.
13,000?
Yeah.
You would be correct.
Yeah, all right.
So many trophies, man.
Mo is better, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. All right, number five. Mm-hmm. Since life equals Vita, mm-hmm. and Vita equals life,
yeah.
What is the very first Vita trophy you got?
Oh.
A, Thomas Was Alone, huge success, die 100 times. B, Welcome Park, Digital Chase Tap Prize, complete Digital Chase Tap stage in 30 seconds or under. C, Dragon's Crown, The Adventure Begins, complete your first mission. Or D, Persona 4 Golden, never mind.
I don't think I have any Persona 4 Golden
trophies. No, you don't.
But I'm not afraid to have that on my profile because I have a lot of 0% games in my profile.
Yeah, you do.
Let me think. I think it's the Welcome Park. I want to say that I think that was probably the first thing I played on there.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You'd be incorrect.
Really?
It was Thomas Alone.
Wow, that's a surprise.
It was your very first trophy on the Vita.
Did not know that. Now, are we sure? Are we sure?
I checked this. You can double check. I checked it this morning.
Okay, I trust you. I trust you. That's a surprise.
Yeah.
I know for sure I did. Wait, no, yeah, no, yeah. Because you're saying first ever on the Vita.
Yes, very first trophy you acquired on the Vita.
Well, hats off to you over there. What's the name? Mike Bithell, is that right? Made the
Thomas Alone. Oh, did he Thomas Alone?
I think so. It? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Volume 2, right? I'm thinking the right person.
I know Mike. Yeah, he did Volume.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Yeah, so he, yeah. Mike Bithell. You're my first Vita trophy person over there.
Nicely done, Mike Bithell.
Hats off to you, good sir. Oh, man.
There you go.
Wait, was that 5?
That was 5.
That was so fast. Oh, yep. Man. Wait, what'd I get then?
2 out of 5.
Wow, man. Sad.
You got the total number. You got... Mm-hmm. The first trophy.
Okay,
Black Ops one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not great at remembering my trophies. That
it's
I
okay
get.
Though.
There's just so
okay,
there's though. Just too many.
You know because you know what you can hold dear to your heart every day, knowing that you succeeded.
It's
you got a 5 out of 5 out of Sonic.
It's been fun, everybody. Oh my gosh, but no, for real, it has been fun. It's been a good episode of the Bros and Consoles podcast. Can't believe we're finally in the '80s over here.
Closer to 1,000.
Oh man, so much closer. I'm trying to think. As far as like total things that are available on the podcast, I think we're probably past the 100 area now.
Oh, probably.
For just
yeah.
like solo things and whatnot. Because I think we got into like the 40s in the solo stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then the occasional sprinkling of like side series things and stuff. So yeah, we're probably into like the 120s, 130s now. But it's been a lot of fun though.
It's been a lot of fun.
So I'd say we do it again next weekend.
Sounds good.
As we do every week, we'll do another podcast next week, probably Saturday, Sunday. We'll figure it out. Actually, I think I'm going to be starting a new job, so probably we'll end up doing them on Sundays. I'm gonna make the executive choice now. I think that we'll probably end up moving to the Sundays because Saturdays is going to be pretty busy from now on.
Doctor life, man.
Doctor life, yeah. It's tough sometimes, but enjoyable.
Yep, there you go.
But if you guys have any questions, comments, or feedback, if you have any other trophy related questions and stuff, feel free to write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. Otherwise, just jump on, play some games with us, you
play
know?
Some Sonic games, you know.
Yeah, play some Sonic games just for fun. Like you can do that solo or with friends.
It's great.
Are there multiplayer Sonic games besides the racing ones?
I think Forces is multiplayer in some capacity.
Oh.
And Mania.
Okay. Is Mania really?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Like, is that like the mini games type of thing? Is that what
no,
it is?
No, I think you can play as Tails or Knuckles as player two. I believe so.
How would you be up for playing Sonic Forces in multiplayer, Michael?
What time is it?
Oh, wow. On July 3rd, we learned Michael's not actually the biggest Sonic fan. Won't even play multiplayer Sonic.
There's
limitations. Wow. That doesn't sound like something that a Sonic fan would say over here. But thank you guys again for listening. I wish you guys the best in this coming week. Play some cool video games, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
And cheers, everybody.